Surprise, surprise.
Yeah, I admit I didn't see that coming. Let me clarify that. I didn't see the Cardinals trading for Hollywood Brown. But I told you, believe in our sons. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. My name is Doug Franz. I appreciate whenever it is that you're listening to Doug Franz Unplugged that you've chosen to make this part of your day. And since it's a Friday, part of your weekend. Wherever you might be going, you can always take Doug Franz with you. Not really take me with you. You can always take Doug Franz Unplugged with you. That sounds a little better. Hopefully your Thursday went really well. I had a mixed Thursday. I'm struggling right now, to be quite blunt. I had kind of a mixed Thursday. I had a fantastic time at Chauncey Social. A fantastic time. It was a great place. I was really thrilled to have gone there. And the people that work there and the people that attended the event last night, it was great. So thank you to Lance and Tracy a ton for being there and even driving me home. Advantage to have West Siders come all the way out there to be a part of it. Thank you to Sean for stopping by. And I had a good time with Sean. And then I really enjoyed Nathan almost beat me there. So that was really cool. I didn't get a chance to talk to you a lot, Mike, but I appreciated you being there. Tom, thanks for stopping over and bringing tickets. So it was really cool. The problem is I just listed everybody that was there. So that's kind of why I'm down today. I think I brought about 7 people. So you can imagine, you know, I want to see this thing grow. It's been going 3.5 months and to only generate 7 people coming in, I'm a little depressed about it. Just to let you know, I want to be open and honest about this. So on a day where I'm just really jacked up. I mean, the Suns knocked off the Pelicans. It was a great game. I like the Cardinals trade, and I like Goldie. And Goldie went off. You know, there's a lot of good things that happened, but I just don't feel it, to be quite honest. And I'm sure I'll pick it up back this weekend. But it was a letdown yesterday. It really was. And you know where the mind can go because, you know, if this doesn't work, then, you know, I'll probably have to move. And I just love my kid. Of course, I love both my daughters. I've always joked with them that the oldest one is my favorite and the youngest one is my best friend. But the younger one is going to ASU and she has so many cool opportunities ahead of her. And I just want to be able to... Well, you know how it is when you're a dad and a husband and, you know, all of a sudden it smacks you in the face that what you think you can pull off, you might not be able to pull off. So it was a tough day. It was a tough day yesterday, but enough about me. Hopefully the next event, goes a little better, but the people that were there, that's why I don't want to be too down because, oh my gosh, what a great time I had. Lance and Tracy suddenly they bought my sandwich. And Mike bought me about 2 or 3 beers. And you know me, I'm happy when somebody's buying me beer. So that part of it was really cool. Let's get into it so we can get your Friday going. And I'm sorry I keep pounding on the desk. I do that when I'm frustrated about things. 4-minute offense is up next on Doug Franz Unplugged. I realize it's a Friday. And whenever it's a Friday, you're probably thinking a lot about the weekend. But do me a favor for just a second and think about your home and the equity that's in your home. 602-899-7000 is the phone number for Ideal Home Loans. I can't stress it enough. These people I care about deeply because I know what they can do for you and I know what they've done for me. I can't say it. I just said that phrase once. I can't say it enough. I have the backyard of my dreams. It's a great backyard and we use the equity in our home to pay for it. We did it responsibly though. And we did it with Ideal Home Loans. 602-899-7000. I don't know how old your kids are, but I can guarantee you this, they're not getting any younger. Or if you're already just starting to plan out children, you might not realize how much equity is in your home. And maybe it's not the right time to pull the equity out. I don't know your financial situation. But what's great about Ideal Home Loans is they'll listen to you and they can walk you through it. And they might even tell you it's not the right time. But if it is... Now you've got a friend that's going to be able to walk you through that process and make your situation a lot better. And if you're already in debt that you don't like, hey, that's high credit card interest that you're paying. use your home, get a better interest rate than what the credit cards are, and kind of hit the reset button on life. 602-899-7000 or go to idealhomeloans.com.
Form an offense.
Everything you need to know in sports that affect Maricopa County, the state of Arizona, and the world, you get in 4 minutes. We start things off in New Orleans. Suns win 113-109.
It was evident that it was going to be a game of wills, and we just had a little bit more in the fourth.
That's exactly what happened. Suns down by 10 in the first half. The Suns storm back and win the second half 67-51, led by the point god, CP3. 33 points, 8 assists, and a new record, 14 of 14 from the field.
Nobody's seen this, 14 of 14. It was the first time for all of us.
Think of every great player in the history of the game. No one has ever made 14 or more shots in a playoff game without a miss until Chris Paul did it last night. Chris, what's that guy's name that you scored a lot of those points on?
Alvarado.
Booker had a tough night. He had 13 points. However, 11 came in the second half and a huge three inside of 2 minutes to go. DA, 22 points on 10 of 12 shooting and 7 boards. Bridges, 18 points in 44 minutes. Key moment of the game, an enormous steal on a combination getting around a screen from DA and Mikal. Bridges gets the steal, he gets the dunk, and it's the first time all night you could finally hear yourself think in an amazing New Orleans crowd.
In an environment like this, all we have is us.
A lot of emotions after the game with Willie Green in tears, as well as Chris Paul and Devin Booker. If you want to celebrate a championship this year because Chris Paul is here, know this about the New Orleans head coach.
I'm not in Phoenix if not for Willie.
Well, Willie, thanks for CP3. Dallas and Philadelphia also winners on the day. The Dallas win means they're coming to Phoenix. Game one, Western Conference semis, Dallas at Phoenix, Monday night, 7 o'clock. Cardinals, NFL Draft 2022. General Manager Steve Keim.
Surprise, surprise.
Steve Keim doesn't draft anybody. He trades pick number 23 to the Baltimore Ravens for Marquise Hollywood Brown, college teammate of Kyler Murray. He also picks up an extra third round pick. Cardinals will draft today at number 100.
I had a very strong feeling that the board was going to fall the way it did, and I'm awfully glad that we made this trade.
Second and third round today starts at 4 o'clock. Cardinals pick at number 23 today, 55 overall in the second round. Pick 23 in the third round, which is 87th overall. And now they pick 36th in the third round, which is the 100th pick overall in the draft. Diamondbacks, a loser 8-3. Goldie went 3-for-4 with 3 RBIs and a run scored. Just one problem. Goldie doesn't play for the Diamondbacks anymore. Castellanos on the mound, terrible. 2 innings pitched, 5 earned runs and 5 hits and a walk given up. He never fooled anybody enough to strike him out. Nick Ahmed, however, good game. 2-for-4 with a run scored. He singled ahead of a Pavin Smith home run. Smith went 1-for-3 with a walk, a run scored, and 2 RBIs on that home run. Even though all 3 runs came after it was 8-0, he believes that can put a charge into the team to get ready for today's game.
I think the biggest thing is we got their closer up and throwing. You know, it's always good to see as many arms you can and give us a little momentum going into the next few days as well.
Game 2 of the series, 5:15 today. Massive pitching matchup. Mad Bum for the D-backs. Hall of Fame to be pitcher Adam Wainwright for the Cardinals. Arizona Rattlers on the road. They take on Frisco tomorrow night in Texas. Rising on the road as well. Their game is Sunday night. They take on LA Galaxy 2. And finally, how many chicken McNuggets can you eat?
Also new this noon, authorities in Bucks County cleaning up a big mess after a truck carrying chicken nuggets flipped over this morning.
So if you've ever wondered, how many 20-piece McNugget packets can actually fit in a semi?
Now, police say that tractor trailer was carrying 40,000 pounds of frozen nuggets.
The credit goes to 6ABC on your side in Philadelphia, and to the Suns for sending me a ton of stuff, and to azcardinals.com for the Steve Keim.
I feel bad for that guy. I saw the pictures of the wreck, and I'm thinking, how do you keep your job? Because it's a single car accident. A single truck accident. And it wasn't raining. It wasn't snow. He just somehow swerved and jackknifed, unless somebody swerved at him or he was trying to avoid a wreck or something like that that was already in place. I don't know. But there's just boxes and boxes of chicken And I guess because it's frozen, the birds weren't all over it yet. But, oh, man. I mean, you're McDonald's and you're seeing all of that profit. Because I have to imagine it costs them about a penny, maybe even a whole 5 cents to make one chicken nugget. And then how much they sell those McNuggets for. Granted, a lot of it's labor costs, but that is sheer profit. And all of a sudden, boom, it's just lying on the side of the road. All right, let's get to Suns. That was awesome. 113-109 winner. I think this is where that road record really came into play. I'm not saying this to try to offend you. Maybe I'm challenging you. It sounded on television louder than the Purple Palace, U.S. Airways Center, America West Arena, Talking Stick Resort Arena, Footprint Center. It did sound louder on television to me than not every Suns game I've ever been to. I've never experienced anything in my life like the Game 5 loss to San Antonio after Nash got checked into the boards and we had Amari Stoudemire and Boris Diaw suspended. That was the single greatest sporting event I've ever been to in my life. So I wasn't at New Orleans, so I don't know. But man, did it sound loud. And what an incredible win to be able to pull that off and have CP3 be CP3. Here's the Monty rundown.
Well, I mean, we talked at halftime about the spirit of our team. You know, they were playing with, I had a few personal things to say, but personal to the team about they were playing with their heart and just playing harder than us. And it was like every time we win a game in this series, the next game we come into it and we just didn't have the same juice. And it was like enough's enough. And we saw in the third quarter a little bit, but in the fourth, you know, to hold that team to 24 points in the fourth when we needed stops, it was evident that it was going to be a game of wills. And we just had a little bit more in the fourth. But then, you know, you look at DA going 10 for 12. And then I think Chris did something historical tonight in a closeout game. You know, we needed it to win a game like this in front of an unreal crowd. You know, and it's hard when you have to compete against someone you love. And so there was tons of emotions with this game. I'm glad we won, but I know what it feels like to be on the other side. And I just felt for Willie, but I was unbelievably elated for our team. So there's just this weird back and forth with my feelings and my heart right now, but I'm just grateful to get this win. It was a really cool win for us.
There's a lot there. Said some things personal to the team coming out of the second quarter. CP3 historic. The pain of knocking off Willie with the thrill of advancing when you know that this Suns opportunity and this life and this chance to win has almost everything to do with Willie, the head coach of New Orleans. I mean, there's a lot there to unpack. So let's start with the one thing that was historic then. Chris Paul. Devin Booker was asked, and the guy's kind of rambling in the question. He goes, I know you've seen this, you know, so often from Chris. And Devin interrupted him.
Nobody's seen this 14 for 14. It was the first time for all of us.
I mean, I just say it gives you the, you know, utmost confidence playing alongside him, knowing he's going to take care of the ball, knowing the ball is going to find the right person on time, on target.
3 turnovers.
Did you? Mm-hmm. Oh, you owe me 100 then.
No way.
Yeah. So that's a lot of confidence, you know, especially down the stretch, you know, when it's a close game and, you know, it's been a product of that the whole season where it's a close game with 5 minutes to go, or tonight it was like 2:30. I remember looking up there, it was a tie ball game. You know, we're nowhere in a good position. You know, I feel that our talent, you know, and our execution and our team, you know, has been experienced enough in those situations where, you know, we're comfortable with it. And, you know, if we miss a shot, we miss a good look, we don't worry about it. We go to the other end and know it's a must-stop mentality.
That's what he brings, confidence. I mean, if there's anybody on the planet that doesn't need more confidence, it's Devin Booker. And I say that as a compliment, not as a slam.
And yet here he is talking about the confidence that Chris Paul brings this team. The historic thing, like he said at the beginning, no one has ever had a perfect day shooting with that many attempts. Chris Paul went 14 for 14. First player in the history of the NBA to do that in a playoff game. I mean, how do you not think of Bird? Larry Bird and the shooter that he is. Or some of those games where Ray Allen got hot. How do you not think of Michael freaking Jordan? Okay. Or even somebody you might not have thought of, like a player like a James Worthy getting so many good passes from Magic Johnson. Or super old school like George Mikan, Wilt Chamberlain. These names I'm throwing at you, and no one did what Chris Paul did last night. Monty, where does this rank among games you've seen from Chris Paul?
It's hard to say. I can't even – he's done it so many times. It's probably number one because it just happened, you know. And I know how special New Orleans is to him. You know, he cares deeply about the city, about the people here, the fans, the children. So for him to come back here and play that way, I know it was, you know, really cool for him, but it's probably number one because it just happened. But I've seen him do it so many times.
So, Chris, Monty just said how much New Orleans means to you. Tell us about that.
Oh, man, it's unbelievably special. You have no clue what it's like for me to walk in for the game, right? Like, everybody that works back here and all this, these people are part of my family. Chris is by our locker room right here with the yellow coat on. Chris been there since I was here. Pound him before every game when I came here back when I played in New Orleans and did the same thing this entire series. My older brother sitting on the baseline. Like, all these people, this is my family. People sitting courtside or whatnot, they've been here since I was here.
Show them the chain, man. Show them what you got on, man. What is that?
Knock it off.
Tell them the story on it, where it came from, it man.
Young Money, Wayne. When I played here in New Orleans, Lil Wayne used to come to games all the time. That's been my big brother for a long time. You know what I mean? So I made sure I wore this chain he gave me years ago for the night because it's nothing like playing here in this city. You know what I mean? It's nothing like it. I know I done went to other teams and all that, but the energy here, the way that they show so much love to the players, to the to your family. You know, when I walk in, they ask me if my parents here and all that. So, and then Willie, so many different ties, you know, to this team. Garrett Temple, Gary Clark played in my AAU program. He's on the team. You know what I mean? So it's so many different ties to New Orleans, and it always will be.
What an interesting guy. I've always liked and respected people that get to know the names of other people that believe in a hierarchy would call the little guys. And to hear Chris Paul specifically point out the locker room attendant in New Orleans, say that's the guy right there in the yellow. I mean, that shows you that nobody is beneath Chris Paul the way Chris Paul treats other people. Except for, of course, the guy he can't remember his name.
Alvarado.
I'm going to go 90-10. He's being a smartass. I'm going to go 90-10. I think he full well knows that guy's name. I think. But maybe not. You know, maybe he is struggling with it. Monty, what did you think about this? I mean, you said, okay, it probably ranks as number one, but Monty was asked if he knew that Chris Paul was perfect on the night. And he said, no, I didn't know. And then when he was asked to kind of elaborate on if anything happened, he goes, well, wait a minute.
Yeah, it matters. Yeah, I mean, I can sit here and do the coach thing and be like, oh, we won. But yeah, when you win and he does that in a closeout game, like, yeah, that's special. We have a phrase, we celebrate everything. And when a player like Chris, who's given so much to the game and invested so much to be in positions like that, has a night like this, you want to make sure you recognize it. And so we talked about DA going 10 for 12, but then we had to bring up the fact that Chris did something that I think nobody else has done in NBA history. Like, yeah, you have to recognize that.
Okay, now let's kind of go back to what Monty had said in the rundown. He said something personal to the guys in the third quarter, or excuse me, at halftime, going into the third quarter, and said, we've consistently outworked them in a win, and then we slack off. We don't come into the next game with the juice. And that's how you get here. Nobody in this series has won two games in a row until last night. And I think that's a perfect description, because what was happening is the Suns would prove their dominance by outworking New Orleans, and then the next game, New Orleans outworked them. And if you were watching this game intently, didn't you start to feel a little comfortable at the beginning of the first quarter? Boom, New Orleans comes back. And then in the second quarter, you started to feel pretty good again. And then single-handedly, Larry Nance Jr. was running around better than any of the other nine guys on the court. He was a beast. I mean, it is Larry Nance Jr.'s second quarter is such a lesson on life. Why? I don't understand how guys don't play like that all the time. Do you realize you're getting paid millions for the chance of a lifetime? Now, I believe Mikal Bridges will do that. But Larry Nance Jr. took over the second quarter. And I think that became the message. Let's focus on that. Since Monty let us in, we can ask the other players like Jay Crowder, okay, what happened at halftime and in that third quarter?
Yeah, we really bounced back after that little second quarter run they went on. We really came in and came together. I think it shows in the game. You look at both of those quarters, 3 and 4, those guys never touched 30 points in a quarter. So I think we really came together as a team, as a unit, and got the job done, especially with those weathering the run. It was big for us. Obviously, they went on a big run right there before half. So we came in, talked about it, didn't watch much film. We had a little talk about it. Coach came in, a little message, but it was simple. The message was simple, and we went out there and executed that late.
That's coaching right there. That's what a coach needs to do. That team needed the wake-up call, and look how well it worked. 67-51, the Suns won the second half. 67-51. Total domination because of the message that he says he gave them, a personal message, Chris Paul.
Yeah, they showed us a couple of clips at halftime where their energy and their effort, you know, I think everybody came into halftime and realized how much Larry Nance had impacted the game. You know, we knew Alvarado, we knew he was going to be picking up, you know, high energy. You know, he was a fan favorite. He played hard, but it wasn't enough. You know what I mean? So it was, we had to match that energy.
That means a lot to me going forward, that Monty can still drop the hammer a little bit. They respond, and then they really see it. Here's the film of Larry Nance Jr. Here's how bad Alvarado wants to beat you. When are you going to return the favor with that kind of energy? I mean, Dallas is watching. This would be really easy for Jason Kidd to explain before Monday night's game. Guys, it's really simple. They're a better team than we are. But we can out-energy them. We can out-want them. We can out-will them. We can will ourselves to moving on. How badly do you want the Western Conference Finals? If you want it worse than the Suns, you will get it. If it means more to you than it does to them, you'll get it. But that means sacrifice. Like you've never sacrificed before. That means every loose ball is yours. That means assuming every loose ball is yours. Assuming meaning because you're going to beat them to it. If he gives them a speech like that and Dallas responds, Suns aren't advancing. They can't do what they just did because Dallas is better than New Orleans. So if you're letting Dallas get to every 50-50 ball, it's over. I don't think that'll happen, because I think they got the wake-up call here. Chris Paul realized not only about that energy in the third quarter, but CP3 also knew he had to step it up offensively. I mean, think about what he's looking at. He's got a perfect day shooting when he looks at the stats. Devin Booker at halftime had 2 points. And Chris Paul wants to move on. And Chris Paul went historic in the second half.
Yeah, we needed it. I mean, at some point in the second quarter, second quarter at some point or something like that, I told Coach, I said, I'm going to get aggressive. You know what I mean? I told him that. And then coming out the third quarter, I sort of saw how the game was going. I think we was down 10, so you know, I had to try to sort of force the issue.
Okay, you know it feels good when the biggest topic of pregame is not the biggest topic of the game. Maybe it would have been cool if Devin Booker went for 45 or something, but the major topic is Devin Booker playing. I don't know if you're like me. I'm still one that I thought it was something not to do. I mean, if he's totally healthy, he's totally healthy. But once I heard he's on a minutes restriction, I was kind of like, why? Why? Just wait till game one. What I am guessing to be true, possibly I might have asked somebody, but what I'm guessing to be true is the thought was, let's get him out there now to shake off the rust. So if we lose, he's ready for game seven. And if we win, he's ready for game one. Because the thought was game seven against the Pelicans or game one against Dallas is going to be so important that you don't want Devin Booker to lay an egg. You don't want him to have a clunker as he's trying to get himself back into game shape. So let's let him come into this game. And that does make sense. I still don't like it because I was afraid of him getting hurt. But I get it. That does make some sense. The next question is about the minutes that Booker played and the fact that he didn't start the second half. Now you're going to hear it's going to be a little confusing that you're going to still hear Dwayne Rankin of the Arizona Republic talking while he asks the question, and Monty starts talking while Dwayne Rankin is still finishing the question. So the confusing part is Monty saying, I thought we were going to have a fist fight. And he's talking about the decision to keep Devin Booker on the bench to start the second half. But there was a reason behind it. The minutes restriction.
Thought we were going to have a fist fight over there. The look he gave me. We had already talked about it, but we had to stick to the plan. Because it was going to be easier to finish with him and keep his minutes relatively lower. Now, I played him about 8 more minutes than I wanted to. We wanted to keep him at about 24. But I was just watching him, and he didn't look like he was dragging it or laboring at all. And there wasn't many transition opportunities where he was the guy flying, where you may have to push that thing too far. And he told me, he said, Coach, I feel fine and strong. I have no issues. So I just left him out there.
All right, D-Book. The rumor had gotten out. A lot of people thought you were going to play. How you feeling? When did you know? Things like that. Walk us through how you're doing right now.
Really just making sure my body was ready. You know, I was confident in it. You know, I tested it. Got some good work in yesterday. And, you know, I knew the adrenaline was going to kick in and it was time to go. You know, this is a big game for us. Now we just sit back and wait to see what happens in this Utah-Dallas game.
Yeah, that stinks. A hardcore Suns fan, you should be rooting for Utah, so you stretch those two into a game seven on Saturday, and then they would have had to fly into Phoenix following the emotions of a game seven Saturday to play on Monday. Now Dallas is just like the Suns. They get a rest for a couple days and then take on the Suns on Monday. But Devin says he feels good. So he should be all ready to go for game one against Dallas. There's another subject matter that was, I don't understand this. I didn't like it. Everybody else kind of joked about it. But the chant from New Orleans fans of F.J. Crowder, but they, of course, they said the word. And then there were T-shirts made up. They were orange T-shirts with black letters that had the letter F, and then it had three asterisks. And then it said Jay Crowder on it. Guess what Jay Crowder was wearing when he came in for the press conference? He's wearing an FJ Crowder shirt.
I've embraced it. I'm embracing it right now. You know, it was a great crowd, great atmosphere on the road, tough environment. But it was great to come out with a win, especially on the road. And I'm glad I could put the shirt on with a smile right now.
I've told you time and time again, the 22-year-old, my daughter, just a simply beautiful human being. I mean, we should all try to be more like her. The way she finds amazing positives in any situation,
or if she can't find a positive situation in one difficult time, she'll just suddenly switch gears to some other topic that is so wonderful, you can't help but laugh because she just can't be, you know, in a bad mood. It's amazing. Well, think about Jay Crowder playing basketball with an entire group of an entire arena cussing him out. Now listen to how Devin Booker spins this, because yes, D Book was wearing one of those t-shirts too.
I mean, it's really a beautiful thing, man. It's respect at its highest level. I don't know. I've never been a entertainer, a performer, but having 15,000-20,000 people chant your name, that's pretty impressive. So good for Jay. You know, people that didn't know his name before they went to the game know it now. So it's a beautiful thing.
You go to work today, try dropping F-bombs on your boss, and then tell him when he gets upset or she gets upset, hey, it's a beautiful thing. Be happy that I know your name. D-Book, that's a gift. That's a gift for you to spin that way. That's a fantastic comment. I do not possess that gift. You could probably tell by today's show. I'm a little down, trying to keep my spirits up. I'm just constantly thinking about my kids and my wife and not the thrill of that win yesterday. And then I hear D-Book say that. And then Jay Crowder tried to have fun with it too, because guess who was there? His young daughter. His young daughter is sitting in the crowd listening to 18,000 people cuss out daddy.
I'm not going to let her see it, but she definitely heard the chant. So she had to explain to her that it's all fun and games. It's all competition, but they really love your daddy. I had to play some little psychology, little psychotic mind games with her, just so she don't get too caught up in it.
I think you got a little confused there. A little psychotic. I don't think that's what was necessary there. I should go get a beer. I'm starting to feel a little better. Still really down, but I'm starting to feel a little better. That was kind of funny stuff. All right. You know what else is funny? If you get a chance, maybe Google the highlight. Find the highlight of the great steal. Booker hits that three. He's in front of the Suns bench. Go down the other way. Ayton and Bridges come together on a screen that New Orleans is trying to run, and Bridges gets the steal. When you see the highlight of the Bridges steal and dunk, don't watch Mikal Bridges anymore. Watch the sideline. Monty Williams suddenly starts in this funny skip to do down the sideline like he is running with Mikal Bridges. Like Mikal will get lost on a breakaway by himself of how to get to the basket. So Monty starts waving him on like he's rounding third and going home. And Monty's doing this weird little move on the sideline. And then when it's time for the dunk, Monty jumps with him. I mean, Monty is usually so stoic on the sideline. And it is so funny to watch him somewhat run the sideline and then do this little jump. And he was asked about his little sprint.
Yeah, almost. I wouldn't call it a sprint. I don't have enough cartilage in my knee to sprint, but I was just, you could see it. Yeah, I mean, in a crowd, in an environment like this, all we have is us. And I was just out there with him. You know, I could see what he was doing. He got the ball, and then I made an attempt at a jaunt, you know, but bad attempt. But I was just so happy that he made that play. And it's just one of those deals where you get caught up in the moment, and you know, I'm okay with that. I think it's cool when the players see me that way. They tell me that it gets them going. So I hope I can do it more.
I hope he does it more too, because he only does it when he's starting to lose his mind, and that means it like ices a game. And of course we'd like to see that more often. Let's really see the human side of this. Suns knock off the New Orleans Pelicans. The head coach, Willie Green, becomes an assistant coach, leaves Golden State to come to Phoenix because of his love and friendship with Monty Williams, and then becomes the head coach in New Orleans. This fun and thrill that we've had for the last 2 years that sets up this year's championship run, hopefully, Willie Green gets a ton of credit for. So imagine how much D-Book has learned from Willie Green. Imagine what Monty and Willie have been through trying to get this ship righted, all of COVID, you know, and getting ready for the bubble and then being in the bubble. I mean, all of that stuff is head coach and his number one assistant together for all of it. So both men, CP3 and D-Book, sitting at a table before that Monty Williams, were all asked, hey, we saw you hugging Willie. There were some tears. You know, tell us about that moment.
Those guys, I mean, we're all family. You know what I mean? And I just read in Coach K's book, you know, he was talking about competing against, you know, people that he loved. And then that's, you shouldn't have to do that, but it's a part of our game, you know. And I know what Willie brought to the table for our program, and you saw it this year with this program. And I had a lot of conversations with him earlier in the season when things weren't going well. And Willie Green is one of the more steady people that I've ever been around. And he was consistent and stable and strong through it all. And it's one of the reasons why they continue to get better. And I just know that feeling. I know what it's like. And so to see him in that, you know, in that place, that's a tough spot for all of us, you know, because at the end of the day, we're all friends, we're all brothers. And after we're done coaching, you know, we're going to be that way.
You know, I'm sorry about the beginning of the show. I in no way what I was saying to you was a mother-in-law type of guilt trip. I don't blame you. It's up to me to earn your trust to the point and that you find so much entertainment in what I'm doing now that you want to come to an event like last night. And so I, in no way did I think you owe me or anything. I wasn't dumping on you. I just, it was really tough getting ready. Like right now it's 5:24 in the morning. Like I want to have this done by 6 and I haven't even talked about the draft yet. I don't have any idea when this is going to get done because it's so hard to be out until 8 o'clock. I got home at about 8:30. And then I watched the Diamondbacks, I watched the Suns, and then I watched the draft. And then I recorded sound. My computer had crashed, so I had to re-record some sound today. So I didn't even start the four-minute offense until 3:30. Got that done at 4:30, and then now I'm, you know, doing the show. And it was just a lot. It was a lot. And to not have you there yesterday was just such a wake-up call of maybe I am going to fail at this. And I couldn't just let myself fail. It was more about I'm seeing my family in my head. And then the reason why I'm apologizing is just listening to Monty just talk about Willie.
Willie Green is one of the more steady people that I've ever been around. And he was consistent and stable and strong through it all.
So right there, I wasn't. I was not consistent, stable, and strong. And just hearing Monty say that about Willie, I need to pick it back up. Sorry about my little brush with falling back in the hole. All right. Thank you, Monty Williams, too. Thank you. I haven't played you this. This is CP3 and D-Book, both at the podium, being asked about the hug with Willie Green. I mean, this man's had a tremendous effect on these people. Look at the way people talk about him. And hopefully, you know, we can do that for other people too.
I mean, I don't think people ever really understand that relationship with me and Willie. I'm not in Phoenix if not for Willie. He's the first person that ever even knew about me even having a thought of coming to Phoenix. You know what I'm saying? Like, he a coach, but that's my teammate, my brother, first and foremost. You know what I mean? So, like I said, my post-game thing, I'm on the baseline seeing his son, Mason. You know what I mean? it's just Willie, my family. So not talking to him or communicating throughout a series, that's tough. And, you know, at the end of the series, somebody not going to win. So it's probably one of the weirdest things I've ever been a part of.
Yeah, man, Willie's the man. Willie actually reached out to me when I did my hamstring. He said, even though we're competing, you know, prayers up. I hope it heals quick. And he's just a stand-up guy, man, always has been. You know, our relationship doesn't run as long as theirs has. But, you know, last year we got to know each other, you know, very, very well. You know, I spent a lot of time on the court and just picking his brain, understanding his IQ for the game and trying to learn from it. And just knowing him coming here and how successful he's going to be, even after the rough start that they had at the beginning of the season. You know, I knew they were in good hands. I knew they had somebody to band around. And Willie's that guy. You know, it's going to be fun playing against New Orleans for the next few years.
I always tell people, if you tell me something bad about Willie, then you're telling me about yourself. Straight up. You know what I mean? If you come up to me and say something crazy about Willie, then I know where I stand with you. Yeah.
I don't know if you could hear that noise in there, that shh. That was right at the moment where Devin Booker said spending some time with him, picking his brain, learning from his basketball IQ. And Chris Paul just kind of shook his head and made that noise. And it was more about almost like, young buck, you don't even know how much more he still knows. You know, I mean, and it was a tremendous facial expression type of compliment where you couldn't control your own body language of Chris Paul, one of the smartest basketball players in the history of the game, making that type of noise out of respect for what Devin Booker is saying about the basketball IQ of Willie Green. That was kind of cool. So you got to hear this one because this is just plain fun. Chris Paul, Devin Booker, again, they do the press conference together. And Chris Paul is asked about going 14 for 14. And it's a funny exchange. So the question is, did you know how well you were shooting? But the thing drifts into the phrase heat check. And I know 95% of you know what that is, but heat check is a phrase that started, gosh, maybe about 15 years ago, maybe longer than that. When I played in high school basketball, we never used the phrase heat check. But it means I'm so hot right now, I'm going to take even crazier and crazier shots just to see if they're going to keep going in because I can't miss. So it's heat check whenever you just chuck up a ridiculous shot is a heat check. And Chris Paul just recently ripped heat check. He says, well, I don't understand why you would do that. Why would you ever actually take a heat check? Because that's not a good basketball IQ shot. It's not the right play to do a heat check. So he starts talking about heat checks and then listen to D-Book. And this is great stuff. This is fun to get into. And hopefully this is where Doug Franz Unplugged separates itself from all other types of podcasts where you get this long form conversation between two guys that normally we would never be privy to. And it's not like you can write this in a newspaper and really feel it. And it's not like any radio station is going to play 2 minutes of these two guys going back and forth. But I think this is so cool to get in their heads. So CP3, did you know that you were perfect on the day?
No clue. I had no clue. Till, I don't know. I think maybe like a halftime I realized, hey, I might need to shoot a little bit more. You know what I mean? But throughout the game, for me, I'm literally managing the game. You know what I mean? We was talking about taking heat checks the other day. And I don't do that because I don't shoot enough to take a heat check. And once I miss, I might be cold. You know, but they would sort of let me get to my spots and shoot it.
Oh, were you aware?
I was not. That's what I said after the game. I was not aware at all. I believe in the heat check, though. 14 for 15 looks a lot better than 14 for 14 to me.
He going to heat check even if he ain't hit five in a row.
I'll never have one of these games, these perfect ones.
So if you were 10 for 10 like Chris was, how many more shots
pulling
you
up from the other free throw line?
Yeah. Seriously. I'll see.
I don't know if you could hear it there at the end, but Chris Paul said he would pull up from the other free throw line. It was good. I was really entertained by that. All right, let's do Cardinals. Time to talk draft. It's up next on Doug Franz Unplugged. I'm always going to be wondering about Wyatt Davis, Georgia defensive lineman. I love him, and he was drafted after the Cardinals made the trade by Green Bay. So the Cardinals could have had Wyatt Davis. They could have had Karlaftis. I talked about him yesterday on Doug Franz Unplugged, but I love this trade 400 times more than the drafting of Karlaftis. But the Wyatt Davis one, I'm nervous about. I support the trade. I don't love the trade. I like the trade because I love Wyatt Davis that much. But you know you can be wrong. You know you can draft a guy and he's not that great. While if you don't know the story of Hollywood Brown, he is Antonio Brown's cousin, but he's never acted like Antonio Brown on the field. And he had 1,000 yards receiving last year on 91 receptions. And he wanted traded because it's such a run-heavy offense in Baltimore. I respect Hollywood Brown because I didn't hear him really whine about getting traded. He didn't throw a fit about it. And when you keep it quiet, then it shows you're still respectful and you accept the fact that your chances are better if you stay out of it. Once you start yapping about getting traded, well, then what happens is you take the knees out of the team that could trade you. And it's harder for them to find a trade partner. So I like that. And I like this trade. You needed a wide receiver. You picked up a wide receiver that could be better than anybody else in this draft. And you picked up a third round pick. So I have to succumb to that. If the third round pick didn't come with it, if it was straight up, I would not be excited. I would be against this. But getting a pick and in a sense drafting Marquise Brown with the 23rd pick overall, I think that's a great move. I think it's a great move by Steve Keim.
Told you we'd stick to our board. We did. Got a guy that was 13th on our board coming out. After watching film him the last 3 years, he's probably a little low. But he is a guy that makes sense for a number of reasons. Number one, 2 years of controlled costs. Getting a dynamic receiver who's played inside, outside. Obviously, the chemistry with our quarterback. And a guy who can be a dynamic vertical threat, which is something we were looking for, as well as I had a very strong feeling that the board was going to fall the way it did, and I'm awfully glad that we made this trade.
Well, first of all, Steve, what did you mean by that last comment, that the board went, or the draft went the way you expected it to?
Because I just felt like it was a strong receiver group at the top, and there was going to be a quick run on them. Liked a lot of those guys, but at the same time, when I thought about those are all projections. Those are all guys that we have to forecast what they're going to be in the league. This isn't a forecast. This guy's done it, and he's done it at a high level. 90-some catches, over 1,000 yards. We haven't had a 1,000-yard receiver in a couple years. Obviously, Hop's injury hurt that chances, but this guy's got 21 touchdowns in 3 years. I mean, it's bombs over Baghdad. He can fly, and he is a legitimate playmaker. He's got really good hands. So exciting, really, too, with also this schematical fit, you know, what Cliff does offensively. This guy's really going to be, to me, a great addition.
So let's go deeper into that comment that he made at the end of the previous comment. So you heard him talk about the wide receiver run, and the reason why that follow-up was asked was because of the phrase that he had said right at the end of his opening statement.
I had a very strong feeling that the board was going to fall the way it did, and I'm awfully glad that we made this trade.
Because this makes it sound like, you know, you wouldn't have done it if you had a chance at one of those other receivers, right? What are you saying?
No, I don't want to get into specifics, but you know, this trade to me would have been done regardless. It wasn't a knee jerk reaction. It was we wanted this player.
Well, I think a lot of you know this, but in case you don't, Marquise Brown went to Oklahoma, so it was Marquise Brown, CeeDee Lamb, and Kyler Murray all together. And now you've got one that I'm sure Kyler Murray is jacked up about having. So Steve Keim was asked, did he talk a lot to Marquise Brown while he was getting ready for that draft? Because you heard him mention earlier, Marquise Brown was the number 13 player on their draft board going into that draft. And he was drafted in the 20s. So how well did you get to know him during the draft process when you were focused on Kyler? Did you meet with Brown too?
Yeah, absolutely. And as much time as we spent on Kyler, you know, we went to OU, we spent time with Kyler, we met Hollywood, obviously interviewed him at length, and with a foot injury, didn't know if he would drop out of the first round. Unfortunately, he didn't, or fortunately for him. But, you know, he was a guy that we spent a lot of time on and knew the kind of player that he could be in the league as long as he got that foot right, which obviously wasn't even an issue.
I've told you this before. I think Steve Keim is a fantastic general manager when it comes to trades and when it comes to late free agent signings. I don't think he's that great at regular free agent signings, early free agent signings, meaning like at the beginning of free agency. And I think he's terrible at the draft. That makes this a really good move because how often can you draft a guy that you know can get 1,000 yards in a season? You know that. You're not projecting. You know that. Marquise Brown did it with a running quarterback and a run-oriented offense, and he got 1,000 yards rushing. It's a pretty good first-round pick, and you picked up a third while you did it. And then he let us in a little bit of a secret that I admit I never asked him and I never knew about the draft when they drafted Kyler number one. He wanted more in the first round.
I mean, and it just, to me, it added to the checking the boxes. You know, it's the fact that I think he's been working out with him in Dallas. Did not talk to Kyler about it because of the sensitivity of my discussions with the Ravens, but obviously knew how he felt about him. A few years ago, we had him at 13 on our board. He was sliding. He went 25 because of his foot injury at the time. I tried to trade back into one to select him, and we couldn't get up there. So maybe the second time around is going to work.
Pretty good tidbit of information. All right, let's go to Cliff. Cliff, I know you're not going to tell us everything, but are you designing plays right now? I mean, what does your lineup of A.J. Green and D-Hop on the outside, Rondale Moore and Marquise Brown on the inside look like?
I thought last year when we had all those guys healthy, you know, Christian, A.J., Hop, Max was playing good. Rondale was kind of the come in and spell some of those guys, both backs. That's when we're at our best. So the more playmakers we can have, the better dynamic guy who can take the top off inside, outside. And, you know, I think he's just scratching the surface. Like Steve said, we really feel like he fits what we do, played in a similar scheme in college there at OU with Lincoln. And so it should be a quick learning curve as well.
Yeah, I'm really on board with this. I got to tell you, I am nervous. I love Wyatt Davis, but I'm really on board with this. And I really hate it in the sense that this is Doug Franz unplugged. I mean, this is time for me to stand up and really you could be happy knowing that I can say whatever I want. I'm not going to get called into the boss's office afterwards. Hey, you've offended the Cardinal. And so I'm ready to come out guns a-blazing to tell you how I feel. And yet I can't rip them. I think this is a good move. I think it's a really good move. Okay, let's talk second round. As of right now, the Cardinals have three more picks for today. And then they're going to be sitting around unless they trade down a long time. They don't pick until the sixth round on Saturday. But today, they've got three picks. 23rd overall in the second round, 23rd overall in the third round, and 36th overall in the third round. And if you're kind of going, wait a minute, I thought there's 32 teams. How are they picking 36th in one of the rounds? The reason why is after every season, the NFL does a computerized formula of how good or bad your free agency was, meaning who you lost. And if you lost a lot in free agency, they award you draft picks to replace your losses. The Ravens are the best of all time at collecting these compensatory picks. They get attached at the end of certain rounds, but before the next one. And they happen after every round following the third round. There's no compensatory picks between one and two or between two and three. But the most coveted is when they give you third round picks. Well, that's what the Ravens got. That's what they traded. So they traded to the Cardinals their compensatory pick. Let me give you three names I'm looking for today in that second round. I have no idea who's going to be there in the third round. But I got three names for you in the second to keep an eye on. Roger McCreary is a corner out of Auburn. he's fantastic. He would be, if he was 6'2", 6'1", I think he's a top 15 pick. I think he's that good. Problem is he's 5'10", and he's got short arms on top of being 5'10". So that's the dimensions aren't there, and that'll scare off a lot of teams. I would take him anyway. So I like Roger McCreary there for the Cardinals. You could sell me on Nick Benito. I think that's going to be the pick if you really want to know. I think they're going to take Nick Benito if he's still there, the outside linebacker out of Oklahoma. And it's not Oklahoma. It's not OU, by the way, Steve Keim. They're the University of Oklahoma. You can't be OU if you're the University of Oklahoma. There's only one OU. That is Ohio University. Thank you. But I do think they look at him as an excellent pass rusher to be able to pick up in the second round. So look for Benito is probably the pick. And then let me go off the board completely and shock you with one. UCLA has a guard I like, Sean Ryan. I think that's who I would take in the second round. If he's still there in the third round, I'm all over it in the third round. But I like Sean Ryan that much. I think he's a really good guard. I'm not passing up McCreary for him, but I'm not as sold on Benito as I think the Cardinals are, but I like him. I like him. So I'm okay with it, but keep your eye on those three guys, McCreary, Benito, and Ryan for today's round two. And I don't have much to tell you about round three because there's just no way. I'll try to do a video though today and tell you what I think about the first three picks for the Arizona. Well, really the first four picks, three picks today. And then yesterday's pick for the draft. All right. Coming up next. Little bit of D-backs, not much. They don't deserve it. I hate to say it, even though I'm a huge fan. And then we'll do versus Vegas. I'm up against the clock. It's 5:48 in the morning, and I don't know how I'm going to edit an hour and a half show in 12 minutes. That's next on Doug Franz Unplugged. Really frustrated with the Diamondbacks. I mean, if you didn't see the game yesterday, and I totally understand why you wouldn't with the Suns on and the draft and you working. They lose 8-3. It was 8-0, and then they scored three runs in the latter half of the game. They got a two-run homer in the eighth from Pavin Smith, and then Carson Kelly had an RBI single in the ninth. Those things are important. For Carson Kelly to be batting 0-95 to get an RBI single at the end, it does kind of push you forward. Okay, I got that out of the way. Here I go. Pavin Smith, his first homer of the year. Okay, good. I got that going. So I do believe in garbage time runs to propel you to tomorrow. The problem is tomorrow being today is Adam Wainwright. And you take one of the worst offenses in baseball and you put it up against Adam Wainwright. I don't have a lot of hope for today. But having said that, the reason why the Cardinals won has everything to do with how bad the Diamondbacks offense is. But also, if you didn't see it, I got to tell you, the Cardinals were fantastic in just simply base running. They were on point to win every single play. Every play. Dalton Varsho made a stupid mistake. Came in on a base hit, got the ball. Runner's going to score anyway. Or the runner stops at third, so he's not trying to score. So instead of making an aggressive athletic throw to second, he just flips it to Nick Ahmed. Just lobs it in. Ball goes way over Nick Ahmed's head, and it's just rolling to the mound. Nick Ahmed hustled like crazy, got to the ball. But the split second the ball went over Ahmed's head, Edmund immediately raced for second. So Edmund's already got an RBI single. Now he's sitting on second. He's in scoring position. Knock in one run, put himself in scoring position. Goldie comes up, base hit, RBI single. It's that kind of crap that shows you you're not trying to win. And I love Dalton Varsho. Love that kid. I'm glad he's going to learn that lesson. But it shouldn't take a lesson to know the game needs to be taken seriously. You've decided to put a uniform on. You've decided to play the game. Every play, you got to be focused. And before somebody says, well, you know, it's natural. It's human. They're humans. They can make. No, I'm not asking you. I'm not giving you something where it's an unforgivable mistake. What I'm explaining is why can the Cardinals focus on every play? If Edmund wasn't focused, Edmund doesn't go to second. So if you want to say, well, you know what? It happens. Relax. Then why are the Cardinals? That's why you win a game like that. Because Tommy Edman is on the edge of the base pass, ready to go. I was going to say the edge of his seat. Ready to go. That's only going to happen about once every 3 months. Twice a year, someone's going to make a stupid play like that. You know how easy it is to not be ready for the stupid play? And then you don't get to take advantage of it. Why? Because you were just as unfocused as they were. Winners focus every second so they can pounce on that opportunity. Your moment of weakness becomes their moment of strength. That's a fantastic team when I see something like that. They're only 10-7 on the year, now 11-7. But that's a winning team when you do that. And I can accept the fact that the talent isn't there. I can accept that you're building the talent and all those things. But that's one thing I don't get, Torrey Lovello. I don't get that. I don't get the airs, and I don't get a mental breakdown. Why would a team that's barely holding on to 8-11, I don't know how they're 8-12. I don't know how they have 8 wins. And you're the worst offense in baseball, and then you have a physical error due to lack of mental focus. I'm kind of dropping the hammer on Dalton Varsho, but that's what losing teams do. They do plays like that. Is it one play in a 162-game season? Yes, but it's a loser play. I'm not calling Dalton Varsho a loser. I believe he'll learn from this. I believe he'll be better. But that's a play losing teams make. Thanks for letting me get that off my chest. In my old job, I'd have got called into the office for just spending even 2 minutes on something like that. Even though I had talked Cardinals for, I shouldn't talk about the old job. Move on, you know? All right. Time for Versus Vegas.
Versus Vegas!
What is going on this week? I don't understand my week at all. Thursday, 4-3. Wednesday, 4-3. Tuesday, 4-3. And the problem is, if you don't know gambling, you can go 4-3 and lose money because it depends on the juice that you're laying on different games. So I'm a little frustrated by my 4-3. Hopefully, we get a little off the schneid this weekend. Yesterday, my 4-3, I took Carolina on the cover in the puck line of a goal and a half against the Devils. They did it 6-3. I told you the Suns were going to cover that point and a half. Papa Bear Sean, my co-host on Props Arizona presented by Betfred Sports, said take the Suns on the money line because he was too worried about the cover or a late three. I said, no, the Suns are going to be fine. And I was still saying it last night at Chauncey Social. I was still saying it when the Suns were down by 10. I knew we'd be fine. 115-109, Suns win. You can tell I'm jacked up about it. I'm starting to feel better. Philadelphia is was a point and a half favorite against Toronto. They won 132-97, beat the snot out of that one. And I took the Cardinals, St. Louis Cardinals. I hate rooting against the Diamondbacks, but that was an easy one. I got St. Louis minus a run and a half on the run line. I got that right, 8-3. But I thought the pitching matchup for yesterday, I must have been looking at the wrong date, was Mad Bum and Adam Wainwright. So I took the game on the under, and I got that wrong with the 11 runs that were scored. I'm still going to take the under today, and I admit I don't even know what it is. But with Mad Bum and Wainwright on the hill, I'm taking the under for the game. Miami and Washington, I thought the Marlins would cover the run line at run and a half. Miami won, but they didn't cover. And same thing with Toronto. Toronto only won by a run, and I had the Blue Jays on the run line minus a run and a half. So now my overall record is 246-188. Here we go for today on what I'm going with. Still taking the St. Louis Cardinals both ways, minus a run and a half on the run line, and taking Cardinals and D-backs on the under. Other games, I'm going to pull out my travel agency hat here and say, I don't like this travel. Washington had a home game against Miami yesterday, okay? Then they had to fly all the way to San Francisco for a game tonight. You go coast to coast without an off day? I don't understand who made that schedule. So I'm going to take San Francisco on the run line against Washington. Minnesota was in Detroit, and then they had to fly to Tampa Bay. I don't like that flight, so I'm going to take Tampa Bay on the run line. Houston was on the road, but they were just on the road in Dallas. They were taking on the Rangers and the Texas Rangers, so they're at Texas. And then they got to fly all the way to Toronto and go through customs and get ready for a game tonight. And the Blue Jays are good. So I got Toronto on the run line. And the Reds just hosted San Diego. It's not as bad of a flight, but they flew to Colorado. And now you're at altitude with how bad the Reds are. So I like Colorado. So I've got a lot there. So baseball-wise, I got the Cardinals, the Giants, the Rays, the Blue Jays, and the Rockies all covering a run and a half. And I got Cardinals Diamondbacks on the under. NBA, love Milwaukee tonight. I'm getting points. I got a road dog world champion. Don't you jump on that? Milwaukee's plus 4.5 at Boston. I think Vegas is too in love with Boston because of what they did with Brooklyn. I think everybody in Vegas thought Brooklyn was going to knock off Boston. And now that Boston swept them, they're looking at, wow, they swept them. Boston's better. No. It was pretty much four hard-fought games. Okay? So even though it was a sweep, it was four pretty hard-fought games. And Milwaukee's fine. I think that's a mistake. So I got Milwaukee plus 4.5. I'm actually going with the Coyotes tonight. How about that? Last game of the year. I think Nashville is thinking, why do we have to come out here to take on Phoenix? We got to get ready for the playoffs. We want to get home. I don't think Nashville wants to be here last game of the year. And I like the Coyotes plus 1.5 because they're playing a lot better. So I'll take the Coyotes plus 1.5. And then I'm throwing out a weird one on Sunday. I didn't bother looking it up. If you know hockey, feel free to email me, Doug@DougFranzUnplugged.com, or tweet me @UnpluggedDoug. I don't know if this was a COVID game. Oh, you know what it was? I think there was some kind of weather issue and Seattle couldn't get in. I don't remember what it was. But there's one obscure regular season game on Sunday. Winnipeg hosting the Seattle Kraken. Seattle's got to be irate. They got like 28 wins, 27 wins this year, whatever it is. And now they got to go to Winnipeg for one more game. There's no way their heads are in this. They got to be thinking they should be done. They should be home. They should be at the beach, whatever they want to do. And now they got to play one more game that nobody's paying attention to. That makes it easy to me. Winnipeg covers easy. 1.5 at home on Sunday. So those are my games that I've got for you. Go ahead and tell me yours @UnpluggedDoug. How can you help? Take the weekend and make sure you listen to as many of the shows as you can if you've got any back shows that you haven't heard on Doug Franz Unplugged. Always check out my show with Papa Bear Sean, Props Arizona, presented by Betfred Sports. It's both on YouTube and so you can even watch it. I'll tell you this, Mike, because I know Mike is hardcore at what he's done as a general in the Unplugged Army who bought me two beers last night, maybe even three. I can't remember. When I'm not driving, I don't count. But Mike, here you go. Watch it on YouTube and then set up your system with your wife's computer, your phone, your computer, and you can do Props Arizona presented by Betfred Sports and do all of that audio-wise too on Apple or Spotify, however you want. Heck, you can even double down and watch and do listen to one on Apple Podcasts and listen to one on Spotify, and I get double the credit. Game the system, my friends. That's what I got to do. It's not really lying. They're the ones that set up the rules. That's it for Doug Franz Unplugged. I'm sorry about the beginning of the show. I know I apologized once, but that was unfair to you. You've come through this far, and I need to pick myself back up. Sorry about that. I'm ready to already get my Friday beer and get rolling after I go to bed. Good luck to my daughter today. The 17-year-old is in a musical today at school. And she was in it last night. She's in it tomorrow. But I'm going tonight. I'm not going to every show. My wife is the type, hey, I gotta go. I gotta go to all of them. It's my daughter's senior year. Well, listen, it's the same thing every night. So I'll go tonight. And it's draft week. And the 17-year-old understood. She was shocked I was going tonight. You're going? Yeah, it's your musical. It's your senior year. Yeah, but it's the draft. Yeah, that's how I feel too, kid. I'll see you Monday. Have a good weekend.